Shalom. Welcome to the Remnant Mama Show, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy. Today we will continue our topic on Shemen, and this will be part 5 as we discuss essential therapeutic grade oils. We will wrap up the discussion of PMS and talk a little bit about carrier oils. The studies of recent show that in order for something to pass the blood-brain barrier, only molecules less than 800 to 1,000 atomic mass units can get through. Lipid solubility seems to be another factor which facilitates passing through. Water-soluble molecules don't usually penetrate into the brain tissue, even though they're small. The molecules of essential oils are very small, but they are also lipid-soluble. So when it comes to Shemen, small molecules less than 500 atomic mass units are what they are mostly made out of. So that's why they are aromatic. And the only way for something to be aromatic is for the molecules to be so small that basically it can be diffused and go into the air very easily so that it reaches our nose and we get that smell of odor and aroma. One of my first experiences with the Remnant Remedy essential oils, or Shemen, was that I had a sister who used to deal with another essential oil company, which I also did, and we got to talking one day about essential oils at a Shavuot meeting, and she started telling me about oils from a supplier who got his oils from all around the world from the very best possible sources that were only 100% non-diluted, and I really didn't want to hear what she had to say because I thought that the oils that I was dealing with the company that I was with, were 100% pure, and I was getting pretty decent results. So I listened, but I really didn't pay much attention to it. One of my first experiences that I had with our Remnant Remedy essential oils was that I did a blind test with the essential oils that I had been using before, and then compared them to our Remnant Remedy oils. That was the first time I'd actually ever done that. And what was really amazing to me was I could pick out what was my previous oils versus these new Remnant Remedy oils because the smell was lighter. Now, that wasn't always necessarily true in that it wasn't as strong of a smell, but you could actually stand there with your eyes closed and feel, for instance, the lavender. The lavender, I didn't have to breathe. It just leapt into me, and I just totally had this scene of me standing in the middle of a lavender field. Whereas when I smelled the oils that I had from the previous place that I used to get my oils from, I actually had to like sniff it in. And I have since learned that lavender, if it's a very strong smell, it probably most likely has an aroma grade to it and is not as pure and as light and unadulterated. It may be mixed with other synthetics or less inferior lavender oils. So if you ever get a chance and you do have oils from another company, take a blind test. Compare, say, the tea tree oil to the tea tree oil or the Melaleuca artifolia just by smelling it. Do the same with the lavenders. Do the same with the peppermints. I believe you'll really begin to notice and smell a difference. And if you do it blindfolded, then your sense also comes in of that smell where you really distinctively notice the differences, whereas maybe your eyesight of knowing which oil was what might, you know, make you waver as to your decisions. But I, in my case, and I've had 10 other people do this test, every one of them, like 9 times out of 10, preferred the Remnant Remedy oil just on the smell test alone. And then they could understand and see the difference so that even now when they're smelling oils, they can tell the difference. I've never been really good at it or anything, but I would assume that it's, you could kind of liken it to wine tasting or cheese testing, where you start to really learn the difference between the smell of your essential oil. A few months ago, I had done a radio show for another station on radiation and essential oils. And just to bring that back up right now, because some people ask, rose blend oil is extremely helpful in healing and on the skin. And I say the rose blend, which is mixed with fractionated coconut oil, because rose oil in and of itself is one of the most expensive shemen out there, because it takes so many rose petals to get that essential oil. So when you mix it with fractionated coconut oil, you still get the benefits, plus it's diluted with the fractionated coconut oil, which is a good, it has an indefinite life sh a shelf life if you keep it cool, just like you would as your essential oils, and not overheat it. Rose oil mixed with fractionated coconut oil in our rose blend is a very inexpensive way, but yet you can also get the benefits of rose oil in that blend. So even though it's expensive for just rose shemen, you can get it in a blend with fractionated coconut oil and still get the benefits of the rose oil. So check it out and go to the store at Hebrew Nation Radio and click it on and look for the Remnant Remedy. And if you'd like, try our rose oil or any other of our oils. And remember, when you buy Remnant Remedy oils through Hebrew Nation's radio store, you are helping to support the ministry of Hebrew Nation Radio and the ministry of Remnant Remedy and our linen projects. Fractionated coconut oil means basically that they took the part of the oil out that would go rancid. And so it's just a clear oil. It doesn't look white, doesn't smell like coconut. And you take that fractionated coconut oil, or we just say FCO, and you mix it with your blend. Of course, you can always use olive oil. Get you a good grade of olive oil. Just remember, olive oil will go rancid if you're just buying it up and saving it to use with your oils. Now, in our home, we use olive oil all the time to cook, mostly for salad dressings and things, but we use coconut oil, the expeller kind, to actually cook, because supposedly it's better to heat coconut oil and use it in your diet, whereas olive oil is better if you don't heat it at a high temperature. So we use a lot of coconut oil. There's a lot of things to learn about coconut oil in of itself for healing, and even olive oil has healing properties and is so good for the body. Of course, we have flaxseed oil, and flaxseed, of course, is good for ingestion and improves the light life force in the body. And flax, as we will learn in all these other radio programs as we talk about linen, flax is good for making the garments on the outside of our bodies that reflect light, and it's got light for us on the inside as we ingest the flax seed. Remember, we talked about energy or life force that is in the food that Father has created. Now, sometimes what you will see with blends of oils, what's actually sometimes the word would be better known to be a synergy, is that a synergy is when you take certain oils and you mix them or blend them together and they become more productive, more enhanced, as if they were just on their own. If you think about it, think about the body of the Messiah, Yeshua. We are the same. Many times we are more effective when we come together as the living stones, bringing the light and the gifts that Father has given us, and we work together to accomplish His goals. Well, essential oils or shemen are exactly that way. Sometimes it's very oftentimes, for that matter, the effect of the work of the oils are better and long lasting than if or as when we would come together and work together for the purpose of His kingdom. Heavier, larger molecules in oils produce a thicker oil. For instance, myrrh is very thick and hard to pour out. Another oil that's very thick is white cedar that is found in our Freedom Plus blend that's excellent for pain and muscles. So here we're going to go through the oils here. We have heavier, larger molecules that normally produce thicker oils, but thicker oils are less aromatic. As in other words, they're because the molecules are heavier, they don't come out to you as much and you don't smell them as much. They're less volatile and more subtle. A lighter, smaller molecule, which produces a thinner oil or shemen, are much more aromatic and much more volatile. They will just come right at you. You don't even really have to breathe. You can just sit there and hold your breath, and it's just going to flow. The molecules are just going to flow through the air to you. You have larger, heavier oils that are more viscous and less volatile, that are absorbed in the body more slowly and are metabolized more slowly, remaining in the body longer. Now, the smaller, lighter oils, they're absorbed into the body much more quickly and are metabolized more readily, remaining in the body for a shorter period of time. So, if it's a lighter oil and it comes to you and goes into the body quicker, it's only going to stay there after it's metabolized for a short amount of time. But if you take a heavier oil, which we call fixatives, for instance, myrrh is a fixative and it is a heavy oil. And throughout scripture and in ancient times and still today, a lot of times myrrh is an added oil. And what it does is it makes the other oils more enhanced and makes them last longer and makes their aroma or their smell last longer. So when we go back to the PMS, the phenols, the monoterpenes, and the sesquiterpenes, we have to look at their molecular weights. Now, thyme, cinnamon, oregano, clove, and peppermint oils are very strong in their aroma. So you guessed it, their molecular structure is very small and they're high in phenols, phenylpropanoids, which have small molecular structure. Frankincense and lavender are mainly monoterpenes, which are another small molecule, and they have a nice, relatively strong aroma. And being strong, they're still small enough to be able to easily go through the dropper of a cap or a bottle. Now let's look at the molecular weight of phenylpropanoids, monoterpenes, and sesquiterpenes. Phenols and monoterpenes have a molecular weight of 136, while sesquiterpenes, is 204. So we have thyme, cinnamon, oregano, clove, peppermint. They all have strong aromas because they have a small molecular weight, and they are phenols. Frankincense and lavender are mostly monoterpenes, which are small. And both these phenols and these monoterpenes are thin and can flow through a cap, a little dropper in a bottle relatively easy. There are exceptions to this, and that would be citrus oils. They are also mainly monoterpenes, but they have a mild fragrance because of what is called D-limonene, which registers with our nose and our sense of smell. But because they also contain 6% tetraterpenes, they have no fragrance of their own. Myrrh and sandalwood are mostly sesquiterpenes and very mild in their fragrance. So you have to kind of like smell them a little bit harder. They don't just come to you like the lighter oils. Jasmine and patchouli would fit into this category that have the mild fragrance but have a heavier molecular weight. Now, myrrh, again, it lasts much longer because it has a heavy weight. And in the scripture, particularly in the Greek, the Greek word is myrrhon, which is a fixing oil, and it is one of the most popular. Now, remember, we have other fatty oils like corn, olive oil, safflower, grapeseed, castor bean, soybean, primrose, borage, linseed, cottonseed. They have larger molecules, and if they sit at a room temperature, they're usually odorless. If you take these fatty oils and you blend them, you can lengthen the life of the essential oil and retard the absorption rate when applied to the skin. So that's why we use the carrier oil, which we're often calling it a carrier oil. And in our case, our carrier oil is usually olive oil, fractionated coconut oil, and sometimes I will use grapeseed oil. It is particularly good to mix shimmin, the pure essential oil, with a fatty oil such as olive oil or grapeseed or almond or jojoba or even wheat germ oil. I find that olive oil is the least costly, but I always have fractionated coconut oil because it's lighter and I like to use that on my face. And I know that it has indefinite shelf life to mix, especially like say down the road, a year or two or three from now. If I was out of olive oil and couldn't get my hands on it, I would know that I had to have a good fractionated coconut oil to take and mix with an oil, say if I needed it, say with helichrysum or tea tree oil or lavender or rose to apply to a wound. Or even frankincense and myrrh, and I wanted to make it spread out farther. So I would want to have a good quality oil that may not have been open and gone rancid. So, as you can see, these three classes of chemical components called PMS is what can cause the body to begin to heal very quickly when using shimmin. They help to restore the body back to its natural state by cleaning those cells in the body, deprogramming or erasing the bad information in the body and reprogramming them. So there we have our PMS. Now, historically, we know, and especially from scripture, that the Kohen or the priest were the ones who were used in the healing process the most. In other cultures, their priests, of whatever that religion or culture is, were the ones who used the herbs or the oils to heal. And so that's where we get, medicine man with the Indians. And let us keep in mind that the Indians, especially the Native American Indians, which I don't believe they were native, but that's another story, were from the lost 10 tribes of Israel also. So when you think about a medicine man, think about the word shaman. Remember, it was the pressed seed, the pressed fluid from the seed. And the main letters or sounds is the sh, the mem, and the nun. And we put a short E sound in between to get shaman. But what did the medicine man call, in the Indian tribes, call their priest or their medicine man? He was called the shaman. And to this day, there are still what they call shamans. Now, again, I ask you, what is the difference in those two words between shaman and shaman? It is a vowel sound. I believe, from those research that I've done, and knowing that the 10 tribes were dispersed throughout the nations, that when I look at what a shaman does, he is the medicine man, or we would call him a priest in a Torah fashion. He was the one that they go to pray. He intercedes between them and the Great Spirit, or the spirits, depending on that Indian religion. And they're the ones that use the herbs or oils to heal. So he's the mediator and the healer, or the one that goes between the spirit realm and the physical realm for healing the bodies in body, soul, and emotion. So I believe that the modern day shaman is just a diversion away from the original priest or Kohen that Yahweh gave instructions for, and we will look in later programs on how they did that or examples of how they did that in the scriptures when we examine shaman just through the scriptures. So keep that in mind. Just because it's been perverted, maybe, and misused with false gods, does not mean that shaman or essential oils is not from Yahweh, because it is highly demonstrated throughout the scriptures. When you think about the peace pipe next time, think about if it was originally used to diffuse essential oils or herbs into the air to get the effect they wanted. Maybe it could have been a purging. Maybe it could have been used in a wrong way to, get someone, as we would call, high. But that peace pipe at one time, and I still believe maybe sometimes in some of the cultures and the Indians that are still at practicing, they use those essential oils or herbs to get a certain effect or to put something into the air. And we need to keep in mind that we need to look at the things that Father has created that have been perverted or distorted from the original truth. Just like we look at the New or Renewed Testament scriptures, we need to look at them through the eyes of the Torah. We need to do the same thing when it comes to healing and things that have belonged to so-called New Agers in the past. They have an element of truth, an element of healing that Yahweh created. There is a light in this world, but Yahweh, Yahuwah, Al-Ta is that light. And we need to recognize and reclaim back what Father created and use for his body and his bride. Also, consider, as we walk in the days that we're walking today, where they're trying to, give us bad food and make it illegal for us to have good food and raw food and non-GMO food, and they want to take away our ability to use herbs and oils and all kinds of alternative things, including the water and the sun, that bring health to the body, that Father still wants us to learn and return to his ways of healing. And I believe we will see the days when we won't be wanting to go to the hospitals. We won't be wanting to deliver our children and having them defiled and hurt and maimed from the medical community using their drugs and all their different methods that Pharaoh and Egypt would use on our children and our families. We need to return to his ways of health. We need to seek him. We need to have him show us. We need to embrace illness when we get it, because if we get pain, it is a gift from Father to show us that something is wrong. And then we need to go back to the drawing board and say, Father, what is it that I'm doing wrong to this temple, this living body that you've given me? How am I misusing it? Show me how to restore this body. Show me where to repent so that I might be able to please you and be a living vessel wherein I can build up and esteem you and esteem your kingdom. We need to look at our body and our health. We don't want to use essential oils, shemen, or herbs just to keep fixing something that's going wrong in our bodies when we're not looking at, say, the reason for it to begin with. We need to look at the cause. What are we doing to our living stone temple that he wants to dwell in and move in and through? We need to look and correct what is in our lives and not just use essential oils and herbs for healing as a band-aid. We need to use them because he's provided them for us, and yes, they do heal, but let us not go out and keep doing the things that are damaging to the body and expect the essential oils and the herbs out there to keep doing their job. Father's merciful, he's gracious, and he will use them. But long term, we need to repent and clean out the altars in our heart and in our body and do the best that we can to have a clean altar in our bodies and a clean place to worship so that we are representing him and his light to the world. So let us read from Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting with verse 11. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, or the mitzvah, and the statutes, or the chok, and the judgments, the mishpat, which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken unto these judgments, and keep and do them, that Yahuwah your God all shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee, and he will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your hand and your corn and your wine and your oil. In this case, he's talking about the yitzhar, the oil that produces light, the anointing oil, and of the kind of your flocks and your sheep and the land which he swore unto your fathers that they would give them to them. So we want to continue to walk and realize that Father wants to bless us as we walk in his Torah. We need to make food our number one, the herbs of the field that he's given us as our food, our number one healer. Then we can start looking at the other herbs and oils that he's given us for healing. We need to look at the Levitical laws, what it is that are the laws that set us apart to be clean and undefiled regarding our health habits. And, you know, truly, if you're a Christian out there and you're listening, you know, a lot of you say, you know, we don't have to obey the law. Well, I ask you, what is in the law or the Torah that will not give you life more abundantly? Now, many of the laws we can't even obey because we're not in the land and we don't have a temple. But a lot of the laws that have to do with our persons and our bodies, in the simple as, you know, not eating pork and eating clean food and remembering the Moedim and taking that Sabbath rest that he gives us, those are important things for our bodies and for our minds and for our souls and for our emotions and even the fellowship to draw together. You know, forsaking not the assembly had to do with the coming together for the Moedim, for the appointments, for the feasts. It wasn't about going to church every Monday night or Wednesday night or Tuesday night or Sunday morning or, you know, even on Shabbat in that case, because that was the day of rest. And if you were in an agricultural lifestyle and you worked 6 days a week, you, by golly, wanted to rest come the seventh day, unless you were maybe greedy and then you would disobey Yahweh's laws. But Father created all those things for us, all in the commandment that it would be profitable for us. And again, the Torah means that we might live more freely, that we might breathe more abundantly. So we need to remember that Shemen is important. It's something Father wants to restore to us. And yes, I think we should all build up a medicine cabinet. I think we should build a remedy cabinet up so that we have tools at our hands. We need to learn to use them. And every time we get sick or do something comes along that we don't really know what to do, go to Father. Go by the Ruach. Go by the Spirit. Go by the Word. Go by what he's given you and put them all together to come up and lead. He will talk to you. He will speak to you if we will Shema and listen to him, even in the simple little things every day, as in, you know, how to live our daily lives according to his word, according to his Torah, the instructions for righteous living, that we might breathe more abundantly. I thank you, and I just ask that Yahweh shows you by his Ruach what he would have you to do for you and your family, that you might be healed and walk in Torah, that you might live more abundantly. May your garments be always white and your head lack no shimmen.